So the one thing we don't want the people watching the recording to know is, oh, sorry.
La 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 la.
It has to do with all the free food and dancing.
That's why people come.
Let's get our party on. Let's go.
We could touch the ceiling. Well, thank you all for coming, and we hope that Supervisor Rodoni will get here by the end, but as you know, by 11:30,
yes,
his office hours begin here to discuss whatever. Chris, I'm going to do the quick procedural things, and then we'll call you out of order.
Thank you.
Get them in order.
We're going to have a sign made. Just hold up.
Nothing new about that.
A t-shirt.
You've got a reputation.
Right. Well deserved.
That would be a good t-shirt.
We gave proper notice of the meeting and the agenda by email. We circulated the minutes of last month's meeting. And is there... Does anyone suggest changes, or is there a motion? I move we approve the minutes of the September meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so they're approved. The treasurer's report.
We started the month of September with a balance of $14,590. We had expenses of $3,123. And we had deposits of $10,059.
Wow. And letters working.
Ending in a balance of $24,625. And as you know, you all received the president's letter in the mail last month. Well done, Mike. It worked.
They attached my signature to their letter. But it worked.
To date, we have had 185 responses for a total of $14,510 in contributions.
Which is amazing.
Which puts us $2,500 ahead of where we were last year. So the response has been quick and generous. And on behalf of the board, I want to thank everyone for their generous and timely contributions.
Pamela, about the
I received two letters, one to box holder and one to my P.O. box.
That's
so
correct.
Happens that way sometimes.
What we do, in order to get all of the post office boxes, we have to do a saturation mailing, which means every post office box has to get a letter. Otherwise,
even the 200 that have no people attached to them?
Yes. Otherwise, we cannot use that particular rate to...
Gotcha.
To distribute letters to all the post office boxes. And then for people who are members who have P.O. boxes, we send a letter directly to them. That's why you got two.
It's an invitation to contribute twice.
Opportunity for generals.
Exactly. Oh, well, didn't I do that? I'll do it this week, too. So, is there anything more on the treasurer's report?
No.
I have a way of spending that money.
Well, may I remind you that we're not through our fiscal year, and we still have expenses to come.
Yes.
So we'll see how it all washes. It comes out in the wash.
I think we hire a traffic person ourselves to stand in that corner because I almost got hit by about three bicycles that didn't stop coming through.
There are liability issues. Jamie's reported on it. Our plan is to give $100 to every member who comes three months in a row. Right? Right?
Right.
So let's...
sorry about that.
Chris has some information about a creative thing that he and perhaps others are up. Do you want to stand up, Chris?
Sure.
So this is... Old business affordable housing.
Old business affordable housing. So
come on around here, face everybody.
Okay. So I'm sorry to do this out of order, but I have to go get an airplane. last
Hardly
last store. Year, yeah, and I'll bring it back. So last year, Katie Peacock and I were attending meetings over at the Soups concerning housing, the crisis in housing, short-term rentals, and all that stuff. And we were talking, and we came up with this notion, and I put it in a letter and sent it to Kinsey, who was then our supervisor, in which we suggested that the TOT tax in short-term rentals be increased, be monitored carefully with an investigator, and then and use that as a base year, and then the next year, any increase that we had achieved by monitoring and strictly enforcing the regulations be used for affordable housing. And it was kind of a lukewarm idea. Kinsey ignored it because he had other fish to fry. So we thought about it, I thought about it some more, and augmented the whole thing, and sent it to Supervisor Rodoni, and then I talked to Roy Gibbons and a couple of other people, and kind of tweaked the idea, and basically came up with a 4-page proposal that went something like this. We create, and this is Gibbons' idea, was for the community service area. So we take West Marin, the 11 or 12 communities in West Marin, and create a community service area in it with a ballot measure, and the same ballot measure also increases the transient occupancy tax in that area from 10 to 15%. And that spread, that 5% spread, which based on the numbers that Roy Givens, the head of finance for the county, gave me, be about $1.3 million a year. And that $1.3 million a year would be used within that community service area for the exclusive use of creating affordable housing. And then, you know, we weren't real specific in the proposal as to what that means, but it means building housing, it means community outreach, it means fundraising, it means using whatever means. So a fairly talented group of professionals could go to. It's the proposal is in Dennis's hands. He tells me that
here he comes.
And here it comes.
Welcome.
Wow.
Here he is.
And so, who knew I had that power to manifest?
It's a powerful yes. How are you?
Hi, Dennis. I'm just bringing the Stinson Beach Village Association up to speed on that little TOT thing that we've been talking about.
Thank you.
So the idea is that increase in TOT tax in that given area would be used to stimulate the creation of affordable housing. It's a fairly substantial amount of money. It's certainly a good chunk of seed money. It might be used for actual acquisitions. It might be used for other efforts. There's no clarity on that. Dennis has agreed to start working on kind of the political and bureaucratic foundation of that. I've talked to Clam. I've talked to Bolinas Community Land Trust. I talked to Lily Thomas at the Marin County Community Development Agency. Some folks over in Bolinas who are doing local housing for locals, and some other folks. Nobody said no thus far. So it seems like an idea that's got legs, and it's got legs primarily because it addresses an immediate need that's been fairly well recognized in media and meetings like this all over the county. But this seems like an especially acute problem in West Marin. It creates a symmetry between affordable housing advocates and Airbnb short-term rental outfits. That's a group, the nexus of which has normally been ridden with conflict. But if in this particular instance, with this particular notion, suddenly the short-term rental guys, because of the increase in TOT, are putting some money towards affordable housing, which everybody's been talking about for a while. So that's where we are with it. I did a one-page description of it that Beth will shoot a copy of to you. There's a 4-page proposal, so if you want that, let me know. It's fairly detailed, but it's still in the works, and Dennis has got some notions as to kind of how it ultimately manifests, so it's still pretty much in the planning stage. But nobody's come up and said, no, we hate this idea, don't do it. I thought that's pretty encouraging. The difficulty is that there's a big expense. It's got to be a ballot measure because it's an increase in taxation. It's got to be, it needs a supermajority. There's the whole idea of what, if any, entity is created to monitor and allocate the money. How's the money allocated among the communities that are part of this? So all of that, all of those are kind of open questions. So maybe all of you might want to start thinking about kind of how that actually looks. But we think that the idea is basically pretty sound, and a source of revenue that doesn't increase anybody's taxes in Marin County. It's paid for by the visitors whom we love having because they're a big economic boost. And at the same time, they're the folks that have really, at least partially, upset this fairly fragile housing market.
That's true.
Good, thank you.
Well, the TOT is already 5 times higher than San Francisco's. It's probably the highest in the country.
At 10%? I don't think so.
I think you can do some research and you find that it's probably among the highest rates in the country.
Okay.
Whereas it's been said in the press that that's because visitors incur more costs from county than residents, and I don't think that can be shown, proven to be true. Whereas rather than a ballot measure, take that 10% and cut some from that, which is already existing, a revenue stream, doesn't need a two-thirds majority, and you're not going to raise it to an even higher level.
The TOT tax, the other thing that we like about this particular proposal is the TOT tax is that goes into the general fund now.
Right.
And is part of the operating expense for the county. So what we're saying is that with this increase, we don't compromise that income
stream
to the county.
So it would just be 5%?
Yeah, the additional 5% goes to the affordable housing. The existing stream of income to the county is not compromised by that, so we don't have to cannibalize any existing county projects, whatever they may be. I don't mean to be rude, but I've got to go.
Yeah, this strikes me as the discussion
exactly.
That moving this forward would stimulate.
My email's all over the place. If you got any ideas, write them down. I'm going to be out of town for a while.
Or send them to our website.
I'm happy to do it.
Thanks, Chris. Good
Thanks,
trip.
Chris.
Have a good trip. Bon voyage.
Oh.
Have a wonderful
Beth?
And the one-page explanation that Chris, the English teacher, wrote is clear as a bell, and you can get it from our website, I think.
Well, you will be able
to. Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't bring it today.
Yep.
Dennis,
okay.
we have this
Thank
new
you.
Alliance of West Marin Villages, the agenda for which has been traffic and waste. This strikes me as something that I'll email the proposal so the other villages know what Chris is talking about, and it might be an appropriate next agenda item or additional agenda item for whatever.
Yep.
And by the way, I've been in trial for a long time.
I know.
Two more weeks.
I don't know whether it takes Ari or not.
Well, I can barely read my emails. Anything more on Chris's idea? I mean, I think it's introducing it at this point. We'll move. We have nothing under new business. We can also address, if for good of the order, anything anybody wants to talk about. community report, Art Contemporary Marin, I don't think so. GGNRA, do we have anything from?
We do.
Oh, good.
Okay, this is the report from Mia Monroe. Accessible ramp to the beach, the permanent rail galvanized to match will be installed at the end of October. Due to the recent sand loss at Stinson Beach, the opening that developed near the central restroom has been secured, and estimates are being sought to fix it. Mm-hmm. Marin County is in the process of clearing sediment from the basin of East Coot Creek. Great Junior Lifeguard Summer and National Park Service Lifeguard season has ended as well. The National Park Service maintenance staff will handle opening and be on site for early shifts. Ellie will cover afternoon, evening, and closing. And the last thing is weeding. We have our usual last Saturday of the month workday on 10/28, doing cape ivy removal and plantings.
Nothing yet about painting the fence green.
I think it is green.
It has
is
happened.
It green? It's done.
See,
it is
stand
done.
Down. Nothing yet about the
dark.
Colorblind problem.
Dark.
So if you want to sign up for the meeting, there's no need to register, but RSVPs are appreciated. And there's a link, and I will share it on the meeting minutes. That's it.
Great. Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Committee. Friends of the library. No friends here today.
I did hear some news about the lagoon. I'm not with
sure.
What? Caltech. They are going ahead with their plan on the north end to start the process, which is like a 5-year process of completely redesigning that the Y there and taking out the one accessory road, opening up the creek that flows across Highway 1. There's a bunch of plans, and I saw that, I think, the next door through their building. So it's pretty extensive, the plans. It's supposed to increase flow in the north end. See how that works.
Dennis, does your office have access to our next door?
I'm not completely sure we do.
If you want it. I mean, it could be too much information in terms of free chairs.
No,
but if you want it, you tell me who.
Sure.
You know, I'll let him or her on.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I wanted to ask him whether or not they're going to raise the road.
There was talk about that over the creek.
Just over the creek? How about the Y itself?
That Y will be gone, according to the plans that I and Dennis can perhaps speak to that better.
The crossover road will be gone. Is the first chance you have to go to Galena's Road. That's going to disappear, and the lagoon's going to work up and down, up and down that valley. The stop sign where you come on the Highway 1 up at Galena Road, will be reconfigured to make it safe. And then there will be raised road sections, which are actually put up high so that the lagoon can work wherever it wants to work underneath and up towards the Galena's property. Wilkin Ranch and stuff, there's all kinds of things there. I think what's going to happen initially is, you're right, it's a 5-year plan. Caltrans initially probably won't be taking part in it. It'll probably be county and county work on the Bolinas side first. And the cutoff road will be taken away in that process. And then Caltrans will follow up a little later. And we're trying to get Caltrans to extend their project down to the area that stayed continually flooded last year. And that's a little bit of a push, but they know they have a lot of problems along the lagoon, and at some point they're going to have to address them soon. They did get some funding for up on Highway 1 above the turnoff to Galena, to Lima Road. There's some culvert issues there, the fishery issues, so they did put that in their funding program.
Is it a Caltrans responsibility?
The county's taking the lead on it because we didn't feel that, you know, because we're involved, obviously. We have
I get the county road, but...
Yeah, it's Caltrans on Highway 1. But we're trying to be proactive and take the lead on the CEQA documents and stuff so that we make it easy for them to want to
find the money, right.
You mentioned a raised roadbed. Is that going to begin at the end of the lagoon on the right-hand side and make its way up to the second entrance?
There's two or three different raised sections that are on the what do they call them? The raised concrete, like a bridge. For short of the word.
Overpass.
Like an overpass, so they have a little name for them. But it's two different locations where the water wants to go up naturally into those areas.
But the problem is the king tides in the wintertime pushing the lagoon, keeping the channel from flowing out. And then all the water coming out from the creek, from Eastwood Creek, as well as from the east side of the mountain, coming down that meadow. It just sits there. It's another lake. So this is going to be above the lake then.
I don't know exactly if I can answer that question, but the whole project is intended to let the lagoon be more natural and flow and let the water flow out and not traffic.
This is from the north end of the lagoon.
Yeah. Right. I know. I know. It's the north end. I'm concerned about. It doesn't also have any egress
Well, let's get, we don't have any egrets anymore.
Can I ask where this information for the five-year plan is posted so I can share it?
It would be on Marin County Open Spaces website.
Okay.
And if you'd like a presentation at one of your meetings, I can put them
down. Oh, that'd be great.
Thank you.
My oldest, when he was 8, we used to go down and watch the king tides come across the road. Park here, watch. The libraries.
I just wanted to say that we have a wonderful young man named Aaron, who's the new assistant for Carrie. And his mother was a librarian, and he was following in her footsteps. And he's from Novato. And anyway, so he's a really nice guy.
Huh. Great. Continues to be a major asset.
Yeah.
The Bolinas-Stinson Union School District, we don't have a representative, but Pamela often tells us what she knows.
The reason is, I'm saying for the record, there is no representative because by California Department of Education code, school districts boards cannot name a representative to come to meetings like this. So we follow the California Educational Code. The school district, I've got good news. And the preschool, universal preschool, opened on Monday. We have 15 little ones that have begun, or more possible. But as they get older, the students are able to come. We have, as of yesterday, according to Joanne, 106 students in total at the school. What we're hoping, what the plan has been for quite a few years, is that as people get more comfortable having their children at the pre-K, that they will just continue to go to the elementary school. So we have reason to believe that some kids that might have gone to, when the Stinson Beach pre-K closed, might have gone over the hill to pre-K. The parents have elected to have them stay here and go to pre-K to school. So we're delighted. It's like the fruition of a long-range plan. The second thing I want to say is we have not had since the Beach Preschool since June, and I would suggest that it be taken off. Number F should be removed. And parenthetically, I talk to Susan all the time. She is running the Bolinas child care program and is delighted to be doing that. It's much less stress. And can devote herself not to fundraising, as we had to do all those years, but to teaching the children. So we're all happiness all the way around.
Larry.
Pam, do you know anything about the demographic breakdown of the 15 or 106, respectively? Like, how many are from Stinson, how many from Colleen's?
I can get that for you on Monday and shoot off an email to it. What we want to do, of course, and we've been saying this for so long, is to get a base of the young parents, the parents with young kids, to get their students back here, because we really did lose some students. I think the school, especially from the up to the third grade, which I'm most familiar with, it's excellent. It just can't be beat. I am aware that there are problems with the upper grades, but I think that these administrators are able and willing to address them, certainly in the math program. So we'll just keep going. I mean, every two or three or four extra kids means we're following the plan that we started creating 3 years ago to have this happen. So,
The Stinson School over here, the elementary school, does that duplicate the same grades as the Bolinas School?
No. The Stinson campus has the younger kids. And one reason... when the county came out, Dennis, and asked us all to come to their game meeting and all of that, you had a lot of parents there because the concern was the roads were going down, even going as far as to the school. And every single table, there must have been 10 tables, all of us said, elevated roads, elevated roads, elevated roads. But given the population, it shifts sometimes. Sometimes fourth grade is back on the campus. Sometimes it stays over on the others. But the count had been so low over the last 5 to 10 years that basically the fourth to eighth of one campus is working in the pre-K and two-thirds now. is on
what
the
is the count at this campus?
I don't know what the division is between distance and the pre-K to third and the fourth to eighth, but I'll get that information on Monday as well.
Does the 106 include the pre-K?
Yes, it does.
And you mentioned the Montessori school no longer exists?
It hasn't for quite a while. It shut its doors in June. And we had all been working behind the scenes to get the pre-K finally going at the Stinson Alena School because it's free for the parents. And Susan and I used to kid all the time that we were working her out of a job. You know, if we got this, which is what we wanted. but if she is still happily working now over in Bolinas. So still in her role over there. So.
Thank you, Pamela.
Forward.
Let's back up just because I can't remember. Are you still libraries, Anne? Do you have any libraries?
I have no official title.
I thought so. So we've heard about the preschool as well. The Village Green?
No report.
Thanks, Al. Seadrift Association? No report. Stinson Beach Community Center.
Well, the works are on for the Halloween night, but Asley can speak to that better than I since I was away at the last meeting and will be away for the Halloween.
You'll be terribly missed, Andy. You're wonderful in your witch costume.
Well, I have to be Padme on the East Coast. Thank you.
So I think everyone knows it. It's Saturday, October 28th from 6 to 10. And we have decided to reveal the theme, which is come to Zombie Beach High School, home of the Mighty Night Crawlers. And we're going to be serving dinner, thanks to Peter's lovely bride, and drinks in the school cafeteria.
Ooh.
It'll be great fun. So we look forward to seeing everybody. And it's a free community event. Donations are always welcome.
It's always wonderful.
Yeah.
Asley, you want to talk about the next one, the disaster council,
yes.
Volunteer ambulance, etc.?
Fire Chief Kenny Stevens would like everyone to bring questions and voice their concerns at the California Department of Transportation, also known as Caltrans, meeting that's going to be held on this upcoming Tuesday. Oh, I should say I have a written report. Our secretary. Do you want me to email that to you, Liz?
No, this is perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's this coming Tuesday, October 10th at 6:30 p.m. at the Community Center. And Dennis, I know that this is a meeting has been rescheduled. You were planning to come to the original meeting and Caltrans had to reschedule it. Will you be attending this?
I will be, yeah.
You will? That's great. Another reason to come. A Caltrans public information officer, along with the Caltrans structure representative for two of the slide repair projects near Stinson Beach, will be present to give an update on the progress of the repair and related access constraints. And Kenny's really hoping there'll be a good turnout and people will ask questions because they're going to give a very rosy report. We saw the recent article in the Point Reyes Live. But our biggest concerns are what will happen if we have another wet or stormy winter and there are more slides, and maybe the following winter there are more slides. How long is this going to be closed? What if there's a problem on Panoramic? And there really are medical safety issues because already the fire department has had to change how it operates. When people in, here in Stinson Beach who live on Panoramic, and I see a couple of you right now, if there's a medical call, Kenny used to be able to send everybody up there because he knew if there were another medical call for somebody on the hill or Seadrift, he could get them very quickly back there. But he can't do that now because if he gets a medical call on Panoramic, he has to limit the resources he sends because if there's another call, he has to have people available for that call. And I am very grateful that there have not been health consequences because of this necessary change, but we need to keep that in mind and we need to look after our own all over Stinson Beach. So please come to this meeting and ask them questions about what they plan to do.
What's the date again?
It is this coming Tuesday, October 10th at 6:30 at the Community Center. the second point of my report, everyone in the community is always encouraged to take the CERT training, the Community Emergency Response Team training. The training takes 18 hours. And the next two-day training is going to be in Nicasio Saturday, October 14th and Saturday, October 21st from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30. Anyone has any questions about the training, ask me. I can't recommend it highly enough. And I say that as someone who knows she can't do everything we've been trained to do. I'm not going to be able to lift concrete. But I've learned techniques where if I have to and adrenaline is pumping, you know, I've had this training. It's really, really helpful. And there are things, you know, learning how to move an immobile person all by yourself. If I hadn't done the training, I wouldn't have any idea. This stuff does stay with me. And also, everybody should know we have three flu shots offered by Dominican University on Saturday, October 28th, before the haunted house, from 1 to 3:30 and Fire
Hospital.
What's your everyone knows Fire Hospital. It's right down there in Highway 1. And if you're a Kaiser member, please bring your Kaiser membership card so the organizers can be reimbursed. But no one's going to be charged for the flu shots. Everyone's welcome, non-Kaiser members and the uninsured. It's free for everybody.
Thank you. Any questions?
Oh, she could do the Historical Society.
Oh, you want to do the Historical Society?
While you're standing.
Just watch your mailboxes because the Will-O-Whistle will be coming out. And in it will be an invitation to the annual holiday party. So buy your tickets as soon as you get that Will-O-Whistle, because in past years it has sold out.
That's the lunch before.
That's the luncheon, the annual holiday luncheon. So look for the Will-O-Whistle. And Peter's bride, again, will be preparing a fabulous traditional.
That's how she's going.
I guess.
What's the date?
And Al's punch will be served out.
That's very important.
What's the date?
It's the first Friday in December.
First Fridays.
Yeah, and at 11:30, doors open at 11:30.
It'll be upon us soon.
Who's going to have a shotgun?
Okay.
Is there more? I'm
no,
sorry.
Is there more?
I thought I'd cut you off.
I'll
bet there's a lot of folks working on it.
There are a lot of folks working. And a lot of folks working on the haunted house, too.
Well, let's back up to the Lagoon and Seadrift Association. Jeff has joined us and may have some information.
Yeah, wish I would.
Jeff, we did
more.
Talk about the raising of the roads and the changing of the Y.
Yes. Oh, so you've covered the black.
We have talked about
okay,
that.
Okay, that's great. Oh, would you like me to also cover black a little bit more, or is that?
Sure. Yes, of course.
Okay. Yeah, probably importantly, the Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Council. And I apologize, I'm a little sweaty and out of breath because I biked all the way in as fast as I could. take a second. There we go. Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Council. Met a week ago Friday, and you've heard about the Y project, so I won't go into gore detail on it. What was, we were presented with three alternatives, and if you went to the community meeting, you noted that there were kind of three different ways to look at environmental restoration and safety traffic management at the Y. As always, costs have gone up on a couple of those alternatives. Unfortunately, we got kind of a slightly negative sediment report, and it turns out there's 40 plus feet. Nothing but mud there, where they wanted to elevate along one. Now, Bolinas Fairfax looks like it's in pretty good shape, and we can do a little work there. But because of that, the recommendation, and this was approved by the Black, and that doesn't mean anything other than we say, here, give it to our board supervisors who actually do the hard work of deciding if they want to do it or not. But we did say, yep, that looks like the best solution is to start on what we'll call the project, which is really the first phase of any of those three alternatives, exactly the same. We're going to first start with some safety and traffic improvements, and especially getting, Latham Creek along, the one that runs along Bolinas Fairfax. I should know the names better. But that creek floods there pretty much every year. And it's a disaster for the road. It's been undermining it, Bolinas Fairfax, right next to Highway 1. And by basically restoring it to its original stream bed, we can take care of channelization problems. We get it underneath and raise up that road on a causeway. so that fishies and red-legged frogs and all kinds of good things can get up and down. And we found steelhead, actually. Groundless fish are going up and down there. It's just really hard for them. And most probably important, of us who travel back and forth, I go to the farm stand all the time, it'll make that route a lot safer when they take the wide cutover route out. They're going to take that further out road and make a nice, big, modernized traffic opening from one into Bolinas Fairfax. They've had a number of very close to fatal, and I think in one or two cases fatal over the last 10, 20 years, accidents right there, and they think this will dramatically improve it. In fact, they think it'll actually improve speeds during high tourist times at that intersection as well. So that's all good news. Even better, the county thinks that there is a fairly large pool of money available at the state level for this kind of environmental highway restoration coming up because of the bill that was passed that, again, I can't recall. But by moving relatively quickly, if we can get the environmental impact done on this project within about the next year, they think they can tap upwards of $16 to $18 million in funding. And along with the Greater Fairlands Association that I'm a member of and One TAM, we're hoping to raise enough money to get that actually done over the next couple of years. So think about it as about a five-year project. You're not going to see that cutover road disappear in the next year or so, but good things are finally kind of happening there at the North End. So that's Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Council. I'll switch hats again.
take it off for a moment.
Take it off. Well, you know, no. After that, Mike.
On the 40 part of the mine.
Yeah.
What are they going to do to support the causeway?
Yeah, that was it. Well, so again, let me be real detailed. The causeway along Bolinas Fairfax, that's actually in better shape. That's on solid rock. That they can support with relatively straightforward roadbed raising techniques. It's mostly fill. They put a causeway and water flows underneath. It's like a raised bridge. But they end fill it. They can't do that along one because if you think about that stretch from about the north end of the lagoon, maybe down just past where Salt Pond is, up above there, where Beaufax goes up, just to that first curve, that whole area is just alluvial fill. So that's the problem. That question was raised, and what they said is the engineers know how to do it. They can do it. It just costs $20 million more than they thought. So, you know, that's one of those, well, hopefully we can shake that out of the state. Because they know, by the way, Caltrans knows they've got to solve that whole road. It is on the state plan. We just have to keep beating on them to bring it back because we know that's a really dangerous area.
Are they rerouting Beaufax entrance on Highway 1 north towards?
No.
The, no.
No. I'm sorry. Rerouting it. Let me be careful.
To the north entrance to Bolinas. So they're going
to
take
you
out.
You mean
this,
to go up Horseshoe Hill?
No, the crossing of Highway 1.
Well, they'll take that more northern intersection.
Yes.
And, right, what they'll do is instead of having a straight cut across at the cutover, there'll be kind of a fan-out intersection for a little further north. So you'll come out, if you're going north, of course, you just go north. You'll have to come back south and then turn left, I believe, begin on Beaufax, going up
the
hill. I don't believe it this time, but if we do the next phases, Caltrans, then they would actually do a whole kind of realignment of all that stuff, and then you're getting into, I've got 200 pages of documentation that your supervisor does too, that I've read through. If you'd like to read it, there's gory detail about that, but it's very, very sensible, the traffic route.
And what does it say about the new Bolinas sign?
Well, as the citizen representative of the Black actually got that in, and they didn't even notice it, so one of the editors, the requirement in redoing this is they're going to actually have to put a sign that says "Here to Bolinas" with neon lights,
and painted in radiant paint. Bolinas.
Go there,
rainbow colors.
It won't last. They'll still figure a way to dye it up. So that's the Bolinas Lagoon Advisory Council. Real quickly, there's not a whole lot to talk about on Sea Drift. Been kind of quiet, other than this crazy summer. But we a couple things. If you are in town and we have a number of boaters and fishermen that use the ramp, you might want to be aware that they're started already and they've shut down the boat ramp in Sea Drift because we're doing a fairly major, I think the first rebuild of it in 50 years. And we can only do it between September and I think the middle of December. We've got a very short window and we can only do it at certain tide points and at certain times of the day due to the coast permit that we've obtained. So that will be shut for about 3 months if you're otherwise used to or have friends that go out there and use for fishing or boating that ramp. And then, another thing that Karen did.
Is that a ramp only for the Seas Ruckers? It's
a private ramp, but it's been known that, you know, if there's some good rationale and there's a need to use it, it's a possibility. You would need to talk to Kieran, the GM. Basically, what's been done in the past is some people that kind of were grandfathered in from a long time ago who were local fishermen and need it kind of for their
job. We are also allowed to sponsor people.
And it can be sponsored. Thank you. And so those people actually have a sponsor, someone that lives there that is like, yeah, I'll vouch and kind of take the liability and the key liability.
They have to pay for a key.
Yeah, and there's a key fee, and you got to still do all the checking at the gate and all that kind of thing. It's not just a, you know, run out there and throw a boat down there, but it is a possibility. Yep.
Local media did nice coverage of the green crab cleanup.
That was my dock.
Yeah. But that was yours?
That was my dock, yeah. Ah. I'm not footage on it. They didn't put me in there. But isn't that nice? KPIX
did. Yeah, they did a great job.
Really
they explained
show.
The ecology and how it got started and what's going on.
Well,
but one
there.
Of the things they said is it doesn't seem like they can be completely eradicated. It looks like this is going to be an annual exercise.
It has been. Yeah, that's correct. Actually, my wife and I helped kind of kick-start it off about 5 years ago. We did a challenge grant out of Sea Drift, and we got that kind of restarted. It kind of lapsed for a while. We found that the crabs got up to about 300,000, which is about 7 to 8 times as many as there are now. And way above, I mean, it wiped everything, wiped out the clams, wiped out every other arthropod, it wiped out all kinds of stuff. And by reducing them every year, we get them down. Sea Drift Association actually contributes. It's not a requirement. We think it's good for the lagoon, but every year we put money in for the last 5 years restoring those crabs. There was 1 year where the professor couldn't get out from UC Davis, and we saw exploding come back again. So now we're really on it, and it is correct that if you either let them go or don't trap them every year, there's probably short of introducing large sharks into there. there's probably no way to keep them down. We got small sharks, but we'll do it every year. We'll just keep them down.
And they're not good eating, unfortunately.
I've got one in the freezer right now. I've been told that they're pretty good.
Really?
In Europe, they use. I'm going to try it. I'm gonna
sure.
Have your bride try it.
There it goes again, my bride.
They go on the Star Road and they go over and become really good organic compost because they're also high in a lot of minerals.
Well, if you catch them, where can you get rid of them?
You know what my daughter does? We teach them. You throw them in. I put them in a little plastic container in the freezer for overnight, and then you just take them out and put them out for birds, or you can just compost them. But you shouldn't put them back. Actually, we're actually trying to see if we're going to try something of putting up a sign at Crab Beach, actually asking parents when their kids take the crabs out, don't tell them, put them back. Take them away.
Can you put them in your green can for the waste company?
I think if you kill them, that would be absolutely acceptable. I don't know.
I'm not sure about our green cans.
Oh, they can't do that?
I think they just want.
I thought that they about 2 years. I don't want to comment on that. About 2 years ago, they changed their policy, but I don't know if they'll take that.
Catch
or
above our dock all the time.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'd freeze them and throw them out in the common area in your backyard, and the birds will come along, or you just toss them.
Okay.
But it's better than putting them back in the lagoon. It really is a problem. Yeah, it wiped out the crabfish. I mean, the soft clam and some of the crabfish are named about 30 years ago. These are nasty things. We really have to keep on top of them.
Did you say there's some sharks in the room?
Oh, we got small ones. We got
the sharks don't have large ones.
We don't have big ones. We don't have any great whites.
That's
working on that.
That'd be a
that
great
would actually
movie.
Take
That'd
care
be...
of the render issue. Okay, I'm taking it too high. Real quickly, Horizon Cable, a lot of people know that you can't get cable over in Bolinas of any quality, and it's tough to get phone service, and I know people are in. It's not done yet, but we believe we got an agreement that they're going to run a cable easement along and probably get it across the lagoon, and we'll finally have everyone be able to have Horizon Cable in fast internet and in phone within hopefully the year or so, which is kind of a big breakthrough, so we hope that happens. And as part of that, I think they're going to actually improve the part of the de quid pro quo is to improve the connectivity and infrastructure in its incident, Sudrift, as they route that along. So,
does Salinas know? Are they involved in
that?
Well, because they're putting stuff in next door all the time.
I've thought about responding, but given how much I messed up.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, they do know the horizon's going in? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Where's the cable going?
I think it's right in front of my house. I mean, I think it's going right along.
Across and then under the lagoon.
And then under the lagoon is my understanding.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not the one that's handled the negotiation, but that, as far as I'm aware, that gets approved and it's all signed off on. It's all done.
They're going to do a boring and pull a conduit under the lagoon and then pull the broadband through it.
That's
great.
That's great.
Yeah, I have it. It's a wonderful service. I mean, it's local. I hope it, the service is great. The guy that comes out to work. So I hope that works well.
Thank you.
Do you want LCP or do you want to hold on to the local coastal?
Yeah, let's skip ahead to the status of the local coastal program revisions. Let's wait. Dennis, we're going to talk LCP. Pending were the final versions of agricultural and environmental hazards, correct?
Yeah, so I think last time I reported that at the May board meeting, the supervisors, and we think correctly, we were very happy that they supported the staff and accepted, voted upon the LCP in all of the land use plan components, X8EH, the environmental hazards section that we've been probably most concerned about, although other sections for downtown are really important about community character. So to actually have that update to the rest of the policy is a good thing. That's been accepted. The implementation plan, because it was not certified by the Coastal Commission yet back in November, is still on hold, as is EH. So that's where we stood as of May. My understanding, and this is not a precise understanding, but the latest I heard this week, is that as part of that certification in November, Coastal Commission is on record to go on and see it online, certified it with a few modifications that were clearly spoken to the record. That came back and was approved by our board after the staffs kind of worked out what that language meant. After that approval, our understanding is there's a clarification that's was responded to by the Coastal Commission staff to those sections. So I'm not even talking EH and all the controversial stuff. Those clarifications seemingly reversed a whole bunch of stuff that's on the record as being certified by the Coastal Commission in November. And as far as I can tell, county staff's flummoxed. They've been going back and forth, so that's taken up a whole bunch of time. And they're still trying to figure out what happened. I think they even got ex-supervisor Kinsey to come back and say, wait a minute, that's not what I said and what the deal was. And I think a letter went in about that. So it's been, if you follow this, really kind of hard because, we didn't get anything back after November. The staffs didn't re-engage for months. And then when it re-engaged, it kind of all went back to stuff that had already passed. We haven't really even gotten onto EHH. And if you recall, there's Brian Crawford from CDA, who probably wisely, along with Jack Ainsworth of the Coastal Commission, had suggested, hey, let's get a set of community representatives. Let's get a small group around the table, EAC, Stinson, we'll get the your beach people, ESPG up in East Shore, and the inverse people have been very engaged, and get those people around a table and just hammer this thing out on EH and see if we can get something final so we can get this done. We've got a May 2018 deadline. It's got to get finished. Unfortunately, that first meeting just keeps pushing off and pushing off and pushing off. Last I heard, according to, sort of sources at County CDA who've kept us informed, they're hoping that Brian is thinking he can pull this thing together still over the next month or so. The Coastal Commission staff has said we want to help set the agenda for how that gets done. In other words, it's not just that you show up with what your talking points are and you throw them on the table. They want to combine with county staff to set the agenda for that meeting. And then subsequent ones, they want to, Brian would like to go on then and hold another community meeting in form so that the whole community can weigh in on it one more time after these representatives look at it. And then get it through the appropriate revision processes so that hopefully we can hit next May. Let's hope. I mean, I think that's the most positive I've heard anyone sound about it in the last 6 months, because before it was like, I don't know, this may never happen, we're really trying. And it does seem like some movements happened, and hopefully these meetings will happen over the next 2 months. So I was hoping I would have information from that meeting today. I don't. I have a couple other things that have happened since on the LCP. One is that you probably remember AB 1129, which was attempting to reverse the Coastal Act, CA 3235, which basically kind of takes away property owner rights to protection for existing homes that were built after 1977, which we think is an incorrect interpretation anyway of the Coastal Act. That got shot down in assembly. Now, interestingly, Mark Levine's office got interested in that at that point. And so we've actually now had, with some of the community representatives, meetings with Mark Levine's staff as recently as last week, which seemed very positive, and they're very interested in, you know, why these interpretations of the Coastal Act seem to be so negative for coastal communities when there's supposed to be a balance of community, environmental, and public access, and not just only one of those things or only two of those things. And we got a very nice letter back suggesting about 5 points that they really took away that would be positive for coastal communities. And that they may even look to state legislation to clarify. He was thinking possibly there's a way to carry a bill to make this more solid, and so the Coastal Commission can't interpret it in ways that kind of wipe out coastal communities. Mm-hmm. Very early in the process, but it was great to be listened to. The other thing is interesting is they were very concerned that the things that have been fought over for 3 years, over three drafts in our local coastal program, a lot of the exact same language that the staff up here has said, that just doesn't meet the Coastal Act requirement. You can't have that. We're going to put this in instead. That same language we wanted just got approved by the full commission in January in Newport Beach. So the commission said that language actually is legal under the Coastal Act. The staff here has said for 3 years it isn't. So the state, guys, the legislature was really interested to hear that. Because technically, you're not supposed to have inconsistent interpretations of state law in the same agency, especially if you haven't gone through an APA process to change the policy as to how you interpret the law. In fact, there's even examples of the Coastal Commission having gone to court saying, this is the way the Coastal Act reads on CA 235 in the Surfrider case, that in Northern California, their staff is saying, oh, it's the opposite way. And they said, yeah, that one definitely, that one doesn't meet state. You can't do that. Not without going through the APA. So we're kind of hoping that by a combination of attacks, sort of, you know, try to work as much as we can with CDA. They've been doing a great job. Support them. Hopefully we can get the right solution at the staff level. Try to talk with commissioners where possible, some ex parte issues involved in that. But now hopefully maybe we can engage the state process that hopefully this kind of long, strange trip will kind of draw to an end over the next year. We'll see. Any questions on this?
Nope.
Where is that letter with all those points that you're mentioning that was sent from the state? Oh, it's an email. I have a copy of it here. I can photocopy it. But it's just a nice little email I got yesterday. All the representatives.
I'm curious about where those 5 points they mentioned.
It's sort of the major ones that we've been touching on. It's the issue of coastal redevelopment. Basically saying that if you remodel the house, you're no longer entitled to protections under the Act. You have to do all the full permitting. It's the 100-year sea level rise standard. It's if you would like, I can catch me after or mail me. Yeah, these are major, major points. It was nice that the state representative's office was like, yeah, those sound crazy. yeah, that's what we've been saying for 3 years. So we're hoping that they really took that to heart. I mean, legislative processes take forever. So
John,
I don't want to say
it's Dennis.
Well, I just wanted to mention that you may not know, my office hours are from 11:30 to 1:30 today next door. And
oh, it's here.
Brian Crawford is joining me.
Oh,
so,
really?
Or someone from the staff. We've been getting the flu at the Civic Center all week, so all the staff have been getting wiped out, but he's scheduled to be here or one of his staff to talk about the LCP if you have questions.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I think the notice was that it would be following on right here.
Okay,
your
thank
mentor.
You.
Right.
Okay.
You.
Can you repeat that? I didn't hear from you what you said about your
meeting. Dennis is having his office hours. It's open to everyone to come and talk about any concerns they may have. He'll be here for 2 hours starting at 11:30. So he's staying after the meeting. Also, somebody from the Planning Commission is going to be showing up as well, the staff for community development. Let me say
Jeff, you are just the most amazing resource.
Yes.
Every time you speak, your hours of work show up, and we're all the beneficiaries. So
I appreciate that.
And please keep posting on Extra Stinson. When I see Jeff's name there, then I'm sure.
Okay. Could you have something more, John?
Yeah, there was one question I want to ask Jeff.
Sure.
Did FEMA ever provide the funds for raising the buildings for the CSLR?
I want to be careful about how I say this. I think there is a FEMA program. I'm not that much of an expert on the FEMA side, on the federal side. There are people who know a lot more about it. So I would say go to the county FEMA resources page online. I do know there is a program. Whether it's fully funded and whether it's now available through the county, I am not aware. I'll have to be honest. We have had the FEMA, the most recent FEMA redraw of elevation requirements has been completed. I believe it was accepted as of August this year. It had, I think, the only changes in the entire Marin coastline were like one little section for each, but actually lowered the higher requirement by a foot or two. So there hasn't been much change on the FEMA side. So I don't believe there's been any change to the program status. If there's funding before, there's funding now. If there wasn't, there isn't.
And how are they going to mitigate complaints of neighbors that you're blocking their view by raising your house?
I don't think FEMA can't really mitigate any of that. They're just imposing a requirement that if you want to do certain kinds of rebuilding, you have to start at certain minimum heights, floor heights. That's really what FEMA's in the business of doing. So it then becomes incumbent on the county and the coastal commission to decide in the coastal zone. Then how do you sort out things like view shed and height limits? But our county heights are actually independent of what FEMA posts as the minimum floor height. That's it. They're two separate things.
Let's get to the next agenda item. Or we'll roll right into Dennis's hours. I think medical center is next. Is there anything to report on?
Well, Carrie Chase is our nurse practitioner, and she's incredibly wonderful. She knows the community. She lives in Inverness, another plus, and she knows Stinson. We need patients. We need people to remember that the clinic is open and on Fridays, closed for lunch, and that Carrie is proposing that she do an evening at the library. So to meet her and to talk about good health.
I think that'd be great.
I do too.
I think that the word spreads. So she's here on Fridays, is that it?
She's here on Fridays, and we are connected with Kaiser. Don't forget that. So that's my
great
message.
Thank
you. There's not going to be a doctor on site.
That's doctor.
She's a nurse practitioner.
That's right. I should be running the whole clinic herself.
Nurse practitioners are better than most doctors. Just my personal opinion.
She's incredible. Come meet her.
Water District, Maury, do you want us to move you up in the agenda?
No, this is fine. I enjoy the interchange between people. Just briefly on the Water District, we've applied for a permit to make our new well up at the Morrow treatment plant an active well. And there will be a hearing for that on Monday at the Marin County Civic Center.
No opposition yet?
Yes. One of the neighbors has appealed it. So part of our presentation at the hearing will be to answer her questions.
I'm holding my tongue.
Is
anything
this
else?
This is a hearing of the Planning Commission?
No, it's not the Planning Commission. It's the
Zoning Administrator.
Oh, it's the first round DZA hearing.
I hate to ask a question on this, but are you going to be drilling into an aquifer?
We've already drilled the well. Yes.
And it's doing fine.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you had a sip of it?
It's a test. Yes. No, but there's a sample out at the office that anybody's encouraged to. We're looking for somebody to test it.
Looking for a guinea.
No, we've had a laboratory analysis on it. It's good, clean water. Very, very good.
Okay. Anything else?
No, I think that's in the interest of expediency.
Well, we'll look to see if we get the approval. I wonder if she'll appeal each of the next levels.
It's hard to say. We hope not.
And what is the neighbor's concern primarily?
The neighbor's concern is that by putting this well in the location that we did put it, there's a arc with a radius of 100 feet that you are not supposed to do any type of development within that arc. Hmm. And this arc goes into the adjoining property by about 68 feet. However, the property is so steep, and there's a drainage channel in the property that precludes any type of development on it.
Also, the extraction of water, does that cause the land above it to depress?
We've had studies by our engineer, and the answer to that is no.
Well, thank you, Maury. Flood advisory board, anything? Community church?
No report.
Thank you, Al. Steve, West Marin Senior Services?
This is also our annual fundraising drive, so you may get letters requesting donations. Currently I have 5 clients in Spencer Beach and 1 home delivered meal. And I had talked to Sam, and he had said that October you'd be able to make a decision on whether you're going to supplement the Spencer Bolina Seniors Fund, which we primarily use for transportation, minor home repairs, and emergency medical, as we're able to fund it, which is not, it's pretty limited right now, and we cap it per client for every funding period, which is around 6 months. Primary funding of that is a Simpson Bolanus grant, which they gave us about $1,000 less than we requested, so we had to cut our exercise classes the White Caps, as I said, the Bolanus White Caps was very generous and voted to donate $750, and I had asked the Spencer Beach Village Association to respond in a village competition, since they always need us in the tug of war. Or most recently, anyways.
Wait till next year.
I thought I'd do better. No, but anyway, so Sam had said this would be the meeting, and I don't know if that was tabled or if there was a delay on that, or if you are able.
No, what I told you was that we would see how the fundraising went. It seems to be going very well.
Yes.
And within 10 days of our next meeting, if it looks like we are meeting our fundraising goals for the year, I'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting for the members to vote on, because if it's an off-budget item, the members have to vote to approve extra spending. So we'll put that on the agenda
for November.
Great. And we have notice requirements for things like that. At least it's still the 10 days.
It is 10 days. This is kind of a legal deal that all people in town should know, that because we're a membership organization, the state corporate law requires us to notify. We can't vote on anything without a quorum. Well, how many members do we have?
I don't know off the top of my head.
But it's like over 200, right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
There's no way we're going to have a quorum because 101 people don't show up to these meetings. Mm-hmm. So the way around that is we have to notify all the members within 10 days of a vote that a vote is taking place. Mm-hmm. So that's why if we put this on the agenda for November, everyone will be notified 10 days before the meeting that there will be a vote. And it's very your email addresses, because we're required to notify all of our members. And if we don't have your email address, we're going to have to mail you something, which costs us.
Don't you get that off Nextdoor?
We have to notify the members. Either we send them an electronic notification or a mailed notification. If we don't have your email address, we have to send you a postcard. So, If you haven't given us your email address, please do. We don't share it. We don't give it away. It's confidential.
We do have a big emailing list. What, 500 to 1,000?
Yeah.
So lots of people are getting notice of what's going on. The odds are high that the majority of members are in there. But still, if you're not getting emails from us about the meetings and with the agenda, please let us know.
Well, I get them, but I'm not a member, so how do I join? Gosh.
There's there are no dues. The Village Association is supported by donations. It doesn't cost anything to be a member. All you have to do is attest that you are a property owner, a business owner, or you're registered to vote. And give us your contact information, and you're a member.
Do you have a form?
Yes, it's online.
Online, okay.
Yeah.
We have any lying around? Probably not.
You could fill out one of the...
Just write it on the
piece of paper. I'll email you separately.
Isn't that information also on the donation?
It is. Yeah. It is. If you got the donation request envelope, you can put it there. Yep, that's fine.
Because of what we are, because of the way we're structured, this is the way we have to do it.
Okay.
Previously, everybody in town was a member automatically, but now.
Okay.
And we kind of act that way, but we officially have 200-plus members. John?
I thought it was $35 to join.
No, there's no membership fee.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
There's a recommended level for individuals, for families, and businesses, but it's not required.
No, it's completely voluntary.
I would like to roll through the committee reports quickly so that we can turn it over to Dennis, even though we're still a little early. Do we have any traffic reports? Jamie's not here, and Lee is not here. Let's just all raise our hands if we have traffic concerns. Beth, you were nearly run down by bicyclists.
It was amazing because it's a race. They never stopped. They didn't slow down. And they almost hit a car. Where?
Coming
right
to
at the four corners.
Stop sign.
Yes.
Pamela.
Right by the market.
Hi. I commute back and forth on Panoramic. Panoramic is having great difficulties. That's number one. Number two, there is now Highway Patrol. When you come down here where Panoramic runs into Highway 1, he's moving back daily slightly more toward the Highway 1. He's wanting to catch people that don't stop at the stop sign.
Mm.
And I always wave to him after I stop at the stop sign.
I think he's mainly stopping people from taking highway.
Yeah, because it's new, right? So now we're blocked from going up that way at
8
all.
8 to 8.
Exactly.
8 to 8.
Yeah.
Well, he has positioned himself so that he can see the front of your car.
Yes,
to see if you actually stop.
Yes, he does.
And you can't see him from your driver's seat.
Oh, I can't.
You said really.
I started seeing it there, we've been playing a little game. He actually waved at me last night.
Yeah. So my sense
I just hit the gas and outrun him.
That's that portion.
Exactly.
See ya.
And up your driveway.
Yeah. See ya.
My sense is that we have identified our traffic and parking problems. We address them frequently. I think, have the prospect in the next year of visitor onslaught to hire somebody, as the park has, to control traffic and maybe integral to their doing so. And because we all, I think, acknowledge that traffic control at the stop sign is what's essential when there are people in town, just to keep people moving through there and pedestrians safe walking across. So I think our target is that, at least. At the Village Alliance, we've all talked about it, what the various problems are. Parking. The long-term view that I heard discussed was parking, even a parking structure, correct me if I'm wrong, Dennis, at Tam Junction with a shuttle.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that are in discussion. dredging the lagoon was in discussion when I moved here in 87.
I remember that.
But I think as a report on traffic, that's probably where we are as opposed to having the discussion again. Pamela?
I think the main concern, especially with those of us that commute over Panoramic daily, is what are we going to do when inevitably Panoramic goes down?
Temporarily closes.
Telecommute.
That's my worry, because last winter was pretty rotten, and this year's could be worse.
Year's
I think that fits under community church. We just pray it doesn't happen.
We know it's going to
happen.
We
got space.
No, Chris, you're right.
Yeah.
We have to we know it's going to happen. As you and I have talked, all of us that commute daily have talked about it. My work site knows that we're completely prepared. I've told them I will get there. Might not be till 10 o'clock, but I will get there. I have to go north.
Why
go out that way?
Is you know that tight turn at the very upper reach of Redwood Creek? You come down, you go tight, and then tight around.
Mm-hmm. That's
take
right.
A look
sure.
At the scarp in the middle of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, think about that collapsing.
It's going.
Can I ask a question about the fire truck that crashed into the tree? Not so much that, but why? Because yesterday I was going up Panoramic to Mill Valley, and there were two fire trucks came down. Panoramic, you know, at high speed. There was no place to really pull over. I mean, I pulled off to as much far as I could to the right. But why are the fire trucks coming from Tam Valley? Just curious, because obviously it's at some risk to themselves. And,
they have a, they're stationed at the okay. Mountain Home Inn there, and it all has to do with what the call out is, I'm sure, and what the mutual support or the support around the county is. So if they're coming, assume they're supposed
now,
to be coming.
It's more frequent now than
it is.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
Yeah, maybe it's a maybe they're staging for, against fires. I don't know.
I have a question, Dennis. The Highway 1 is under jurisdiction of Caltrans. Panoramic is a county road. If Highway 1 is closed and Panoramic is the designated detour, emergency detour. Does it now fall under Caltrans' responsibility at all?
You know, they have some responsibility, but it's more of a cooperative effort with the county. If we had to do some major work there for some reason on an emergency basis, they might help support that with funding.
Mm-hmm.
They often track that road, though, because they know it is important access for everyone, and drive it and make sure and look out for things, as does the county.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both just basically trying to make sure it stays open at this time while the other roads are closed. And so we're not anticipating any major work, but if something did happen, it would be very quick response from both people, and they would be supportive.
Is it possible to get Caltrans to pave or grade the turnouts or the pullovers? They're not
we
turnouts,
actually,
but pullovers.
County DPW did that earlier
mm-hmm.
this year. We had requested them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They were concerned that they were providing unsafe turnouts for people, and we convinced them that no, they needed to do it because bicycles might use it, people might pull off there. It had to be a safe, because after the storms in particular, you remember how ruddy those were.
Yes.
Hopefully
yes.
You've seen them, they're much better now.
Yeah.
Well, they graded them, but they didn't pave them.
No, that's right. I don't think that they're going to pave them. They have the paved turnouts that are there already.
Yes.
And those have already gone through a process.
Well, those are pullouts.
Right.
I'm talking about turnouts.
No, they, you know.
So they'll stay gravel. There's no plans to pave them at this point.
Oh, okay.
They'd have to go through design and engineering.
They go through a major.
Really?
They're working on it all the time.
It's
my hat's off to them.
I
yeah.
think so, too.
Yeah, they've taken better care of us than they have in 45 years.
Yeah. Well, I noticed the county has been doing mitigation of the trees that were in danger of falling. They've already gone through and taken out the ones that were obviously about ready to keel over.
But certainly, if you're driving that road and you see something, let us know.
Okay.
It's better if we know sooner than later something's changing or something's going on, especially as we embark on winter and we're
mm-hmm.
going to need to use it for another 3 months.
Yeah.
I've been thinking maybe a Stinson Beach police force with one of those things. Just below Pantles.
I think we need to commission a boat that will take the commuters over one.
Boat, too. High speed.
Yes.
One of those Larkspur, those Larkspur catamarans would be
exactly.
Nice to.
So, flood mitigation, we went by, we hear that Escoot is being cleaned out. Compliance review, the compliance review committee chairman is incompetent. at least distracted and busy. Keep the beach clean. Do we have a day or have we had the day? LCP, we've talked about. The advisory committee to address sea level rise is kind of a carryover from when the Sea Smart activities were going on.
Is that committee still extant?
Nope.
Wow,
is, I mean, it is still.
It is going on. We're
basically wrapping.
Right. For the good of the order, does anybody have anything they want to bring up and talk about? Lisa?
I'm probably going to be posting a pickup panoramic party. Kevin and I typically do it ourselves and we'll go out and take garbage bags, but this season was unusually bad, and so I could use a hand. I'll put something on next door and let you guys know if you want to come up. I'll give you something good. I don't know what yet.
Jeff,
could I say something in the same vein? Thank you to the Briones folks that went up and did the cleanup along Bolinas Lagoon a couple weekends ago. And if you were a volunteer in that, Morgan from EAC up in Point Reyes contacted me and said they're going to have a volunteer appreciation barbecue for their Tamales Bay cleanup.
Cool.
And this probably applied to you guys as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a volunteer to go help pick up, there's a nice barbecue waiting for you in 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And get a hold of me if you're just in going.
Which crew was this?
This is EAC doing the pickup along Tamales Bay. It's on next door.
Okay.
You just have to wade out through it, or you can PM me on that next door.
Sure, I'll look at it. Thank you.
It's just quickly, if I may, on the flood control, you know the basin has been cleaned already by the restaurant. There's a contract out to do the bridge cleaning. It'll happen before the 15th of this month.
Great.
It has to. So those projects are both going on. Rhonda's involved with a trash summit that you might want to hear just a brief report about that meeting coming up about trash along the road, trash in the watershed, trash in the culvert.
Yay!
So.
Yeah, the McStop is sponsoring a trash summit. It's going to be on November 1st from noon to 4. Dennis will be speaker there, starting kicking things off. But we're really reaching out to all the volunteer groups that do pick up and kind of starting at the bottom level, but also looking at how to address the problem higher up. And we've also determined that this, that's my key, I won't be able to get home. But anyway, back to the trash summit, how capturing green waste is like the number two factor in reducing our carbon footprint globally. That was talked about at the drawdown event this last Tuesday at in the county. So anyway, we're working hard on a lot of different levels, but if you're interested in trash, working with the trash as a volunteer, finding out more about how we can prevent trash from ending up into our beaches and waterways, please contact me and you're welcome to attend that event.
Do you have a card or can you share
your
contact information?
Great.
Yeah,
online.
Perfect.
You can
okay.
Find it.
Where is the event?
It is going to be at the Civic Center Showcase down by the fairgrounds. And I'm not, I
don't
know.
Oh,
down
in Marina County.
Yeah,
the hill.
Mm-hmm.
I should have said Rhonda is my aide.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know that, Rhonda Cutter. So, she'll have a card for you later.
Very diligent person.
It would be nice to get elementary school kids, bring more awareness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Picking up garbage. There's a little boy here in town, a visitor, a vacationer, for about 2 weeks, and he had a little. Get it one of those little clippers that you pick up garbage.
Yeah.
Move it on the beach every day, as well as following fire trucks and watch the protocol. And I mean, the garbage trucks on Tuesdays, and pick up and segmenting garbage, clean out the garbage cans that you know people threw the wrong items, segment them and throw them in blue, green, and gray cans. It was fantastic. 9 years old. I told his mother she should promote him.
Yeah, well, my daughter used to do that all the time, so I learned whenever I went out to clean a little bag, and that's a good point, and there is a big effort, especially at the fifth grade level, where they do a lot of that, but I think these are the kinds of ideas we'll be talking about, so I encourage you to come if you really would like to participate and find out more, because I think one of the things we're identifying is that in each area, there's different rules about how to put the garbage in the right container, and so people get frustrated and they don't really try to figure it out. So looking long-term, I'm trying to streamline that so it's regionally universal. So there's, you know, a lot more we could do, and we really need to do it.
And Dennis made the suggestion that we get local kids to make posters about welcoming visitors, but please take your garbage home or something such thing. And I passed that on to Carrie Livingston, who's quite artistic, and she was going to do something with it with the after-school program, but I haven't seen any yet of it.
And green crabs, too.
So is there anything else for the good of the order? I think we've reached the point where we should adjourn, turn it over to Dennis and Rhonda. Dennis, you can start speaking. You can, we'll rearrange the chairs. Okay. So I move we adjourn.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Hey, if you didn't sign in, please sign in. We like to.
Please sign in.